Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone with the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and all your demonic angels and render all your powers null and void. And you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and we covenant with you, Father. In the name of Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, please open them to our foundational scripture we have been using for this particular teaching on not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, found in Hebrews chapter 10. Again, that's Hebrews chapter 10. Now, I will be reading these verses from the Amplified Study Bible. Amen. So if you found Hebrews chapter 10, please go to verse 24 and 25. And I will be reading, please follow along. And it says, and let us consider thoughtfully how we may encourage one another to love and to do good works. So the scripture tells us to love one another, and through this love, we are to do good deeds. 25, it says, not forsaking our meeting together as believers for worship and instruction, as is the habit of some, but see the day of Jesus Christ returning. So we see here that we are to assemble ourselves together as believers for what? For worship and instruction. And so we are to do that. That's a mandate from my Heavenly Father. It is a commandment. It is not a suggestion. Now, please turn into your Bibles to the book of Psalm 133. Again, that's Psalm 133. And we're going to read verses 1 through 3. And it says, and I'm reading from the Amplified Study Bible also. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil of consecration poured on the head, coming down on the head, even the beard of Aaron, coming down upon the edge of his priestly robes, consecrating the whole body. It is like the dew of Mount Hermon, coming down on the hills of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessings, life forevermore. Amen. Again, so we see here that it is good for brothers to dwell together. What? In unity. In unity. That's the key. And it says that it is like the precious oil coming down on the beard. Amen. So we see here that the commandment from God and everything in the word of God is a commandment. There are no suggestions. So we are to dwell together for love and good deeds. And we're there for instruction and for worship. Amen. God is commanding us through his word to love one another and do good deeds and dwell together in unity. When we obey his word, we not only have his blessings, but life and life evermore. Amen. That comes by our assembling ourselves together in fellowship, one to another, in a church or sanctuary setting. Amen. Let me repeat that. That comes by our assembling ourselves together in fellowship, one to another, in a church or sanctuary setting. Now, once you start eliminating the promises and commandments of God in your life, you open the door for the works of Satan to manifest in your life. He will only comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He doesn't come for joy and happiness and fellowship and instruction. His total job is to kill you and get you off the commandments and the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, this lesson I have been teaching on came about by a news article that I read that was discussing the premise of today's young adults, that they believe that attending church is no longer necessary in today's society. Now, I don't know where they got that from, but let's continue with this teaching and let's find out where, first of all, they got this from, and let's line it up with the word of God and see, does it hold water? Amen. They believe the church has become outdated in their teaching, in their acceptance, and social values that they can no longer attend. Amen. Now, here are young people that used to go to church, but now for some reason, because of mass media, information technologies, and other mediums of information, they have decided that church is no longer needed. So we have been doing what I like to call a spiritual consumer report. Again, a spiritual consumer report on what they have now believe is true. We want to line up what they say and believe with the word of God and see if it is really true. We must also do our investigation with a motive of love. Amen. Because God is love, and he loves these people too. But it is the sin that he hates. Amen. He loves everybody, but he hates the sin. Amen. Let's look at our next reason why young people, according to this website article, that have decided to stop attending church. And we're going to go to reason number 11, and it says, financial expectations and obligations. Financial expectations and obligations. And the caption under that reads, while getting involved with religious communities can be a great way to give back and donate to charities, many find the sense of financial obligations to be off-putting. Some people also are skeptical about how exactly their funds are being used. So they have decided that the pastor is not doing with the funds as they believe it should be happening. And so they are skeptical of that, and they decided that they don't have to go to church anymore. Now, I do agree with their assumption that getting involved with your local religious communities can be a gratifying encounter that helped to establish and develop their communities socially, politically, educationally, and prosperously. It also says that some people are skeptic about how exactly their funds are being used. Beware of the lies of Satan. He comes only to steal, kill, and to destroy. And he will put a thought, an idea, and a suggestion in one's mind to confuse, deceive, and distort the truth. Now, there are two divisions in the local church. One is the spiritual sector, and the other is the business sector. Now, let's first look at the spiritual sector, which is the under-shepherd or the pastor, which has the responsibility over that particular sector of the church. Please go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 3. Again, Jeremiah chapter 3, and we're going to read verse number 15, because, see, we need to get an understanding about this money situation in the church and how people always want to throw rocks and have suspicion about the pastor stealing money and doing things that they believe is in violation of church policy. So Jeremiah chapter 3, verse number 15, and it says, and I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed or shepherd you with knowledge and understanding. Now, I'm also going to read that same chapter or book, Jeremiah chapter 3, from the Hebrew English Tanakh. And it says, I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will pastor or shepherd you with knowledge and skill. So God is the one who gives us shepherds or the pastor over the church. So I've told you before, in order to be one of the fivefold ministry gifts, that is being an apostle, evangelist, prophet, or pastor teacher, you must be called by the Holy Spirit. You can't wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to be a pastor. Now, you may have a desire to be one of the ministry gifts, but God, through the leading of the Holy Spirit, has to call you for that particular position. And so it says here in Jeremiah, it says, and I will give you shepherds. So God is the one that's giving us shepherds or the pastor. And they will teach you with knowledge and understanding. Amen. So it is God who appoints men to shepherd his people. Man cannot call himself to this office, but only God, by the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so important that you are led by the Spirit of God to direct you to the right church. Amen. Now, please turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Again, that's Ephesians chapter 4. And let's look at something else here. And also, we're going to be reading this from the Amplified Study Bible, Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12. And it says, "And his gifts to the church were varied, and he appointed some as apostles, special messengers or representatives, some as prophets who speak a new language or message from God to the people, some as evangelists who spread the good news of salvation, and some as pastor teachers to shepherd and guide and instruct." So he did this to fully equip and perfect the saints, God's people, for work of service to build up the body of Christ, the church. Amen. So we see here that God is the one that does the appointing. And so this is the sector of the church. I told you there are two sectors. One is the business and one is the spiritual. And the pastor or one of the other ministry gifts that God has placed in the church, they are the ones that give us the spiritual instruction, the training, the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding of God's word. That is his duty in terms of the body of Christ. But also, there's another portion of the church that we have to understand. Now, this first section, which is the religious sector, there are other responsibilities that the pastor have. But the main focus is the ministry of the word, and should not get in his way of that responsibility. And nothing should get in the way, rather, of that responsibility. Amen. He should have spent all his time in study, prayer, and understanding through the leading of the Holy Spirit of the Word of God. Amen. Now, the other sector of the church is one that I believe is so important, because many churches probably don't have business meetings. We here at Kansas City Christian Faith Center, every year we have a business meeting. And in that meeting, we give the State of the Union of the Kansas City Christian Faith Center and what's happening in our church, the direction that we're going. We have a financial report from our treasury secretary, and we let everybody know what's going on at our church. We're totally transparent. We have nothing to hide, because we're not ashamed of anything that we do. And because God tells us how to conduct our business, that's why we have a board that makes sure that we do everything decently and in order. Amen. And now, this is one area that I believe a lot of churches don't do, because I don't believe a lot of churches have business meetings. I don't think they do. So you have to understand, these young people that question or skeptic of what happens to the money, they need to go ask their pastor about that. Ask for a meeting with the pastor where you can have a counsel session with him so he can explain to you what he does with the money. Don't get angry and just leave. Now, we are dealing with the skepticism of people, and how their funds are being used has caused them to stop attending. Has caused them to stop attending church. Because the pastor might have drive a new car, they get upset. Because he might have some new suit on, new pair of shoes, they get upset. They think he's stealing the money. You know, when it comes to money, people get real foggy and defensive, especially when it comes to the church. They think that pastors are men of God supposed to be broke down and have no money. They're not supposed to live in a nice home. They shouldn't have a nice car, but they should be pushing some empty grocery cart down the road. As long as you're doing that and you poor, you good. But don't have any money. No, don't have no money. Oh, please. They want to break your door in. But we're going to get this money situation straight in this teaching right now about this money, because it's completely ridiculous. And it's a lie of Satan. And the church has allowed that to happen because the church hasn't done its job. That's why we have business meetings. We're very transparent. All our members know what happened or what goes or what happens with our money, where our money is put, because we do it godly. Matter of fact, I don't even know what comes in terms of financially. I don't know the amount of money that comes in. Now, of course, I get a financial report just like everybody else, but I don't know what's coming in every Sunday, because that's not my area of responsibility. My area of responsibility is to make sure that I am led by the Holy Spirit and I minister the word in truth and with understanding. Amen. Now, like I said, when it comes to money, people get real foggy and defensive. Now, we are here. Now, we're going to clear this matter up in our teaching, because it is an attack from Satan. And unfortunately, many people lend their ear to it and start questioning the money. They gossip to other members and bring discord against the members and against the leadership of the church, which brings them into an area of sin and an area that they should be very, very careful about, because they're treading on very dangerous grounds. Now, let me ask this question. Because most of you either rent or own a home. Am I correct? You have responsibilities to maintain that home in order for it to stay functioning as a home. Am I correct? When you have utility bills, you have yard upkeep, as well as home maintenance. Correct? Well, the church also has bills for upkeep and maintenance also, to maintain a place where you can come and assemble yourselves for the ministry of the word. Just like your home has to be maintained financially, so does the church. That's where the money goes. That money goes to the upkeep. So when you come in on Sunday, you have a nice, clean, comfortable place, a sanctuary, where you can come in and you can worship the Lord in truth and in fellowship with him. You don't have to worry about a leaking roof when it rains. You don't have to worry about the heat being turned off because you don't have money to pay the bills. No, your building is ready, clean, and nice and comfortable for you to come in. That's where your money goes. You know, you're so worried about a pastor stealing money. And sure, there have been instances where the pastor has done some things that are definitely not in line with God's word. But that doesn't mean all churches are that way. And the church has been given a bad stain because of certain pastors. Well, you know, we can say that same thing about lawyers or doctors or teachers or whatever profession you might want to pull out the hat, because nobody is prone for not being attacked by Satan. And we have to understand Satan's attacks, and we have to understand the way he operates in life. It says that he only comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. So if Satan can put a degree of doubt in your mind that the pastor is not doing what he should do with the money, then of course you're going to question him. Of course you're going to want to find out, well, what is happening with the money? Well, the scripture tells us in Luke 6:38, it says, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give it into your bosom." You know, and so, you know, let me tell you something, people. You cannot be God-given. So your little dollar and 50 cents that you put in every week, Look, if you're so worried about that, just keep your money. Just keep your money. Because you can't be God-given. God owns all the gold, all the silver, all the diamonds, all the rubies, all the oil. He owns it all. So you think that your little dollar 50 cent is going to hurt God? It's not. What you better do is just get in line. And if you feel like the pastor might be doing something that is not in line with the group, with the word, then you need to pray for the pastor. Pray for him. Pray that he will not do anything that is contrary to God's word, where he might try to steal something. Amen. But see, Satan wants to bring conflict within the church by planting a seed into the mind of some to question what the pastor's doing with the money. Amen. But see, the scripture tells us that God loves a cheerful giver. He loves a cheerful giver, one that is happy to give of the fruits of their labor unto the ministry, so God's church can be here established here on earth. Amen? Well, you know what? I'm just about out of time, but please join us next week where we continue our teaching on not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. But until then, please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.